Alan Slaughter-Zinsky here, and it's my privilege and honor to have on, no doubt, the winningest coach in Brevard County. He is obviously a coaching legend and three-time state champion, head coach of the Cocoa Tigers, John Wilkinson. Coach, thanks for coming on today.
I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, no problem. Coach, let's talk about the season. The first thing, I didn't get an opportunity to do any of your games this year. Stephen Orville took them all from me. I did get a chance to see you play a lot, though, in terms of on television and things like that. But the one thing I was curious about, Coach, was the depth of talent that you had in that backfield this year. I'm curious now that the season's over, Coach, how did it go, and how did the guys handle the rotation this year?
You know, I've been very happy with our running back core and the unselfishness that they've had. And, you know, we've always kind of – well, I shouldn't say we always had. Back, you know, in the end of 2008, 2009, we were mostly a wing T team, and, you know, people had to – you know, had to block for each other, and, you know, we kind of got away from that to more of a one-back thing. But we've been able to rotate our backs this year, and, you know, they haven't complained about, you know, lack of carries and things like that. And that just shows the true unselfishness and that they're team players first.
Coach, let's talk about your quarterback, Bruce Judson. Another great season for Bruce. You look at his rushing total, 503 rushing yards. He puts up another nearly 900 in the air this year. The one myth that I think that Bruce – dispelled is the fact that he wouldn't be able to throw the ball when he had to. He sure did prove that, especially coming down the stretch, Coach.
Yeah, Bruce is, you know, he's a true dual threat. And, you know, to add on to what we were just talking about, you know, last year, basically, it was Timmy Pratt and him in the backfield. And they kind of, you know, Timmy had 1,600 and Bruce had about 1,000. And, you know, they kind of just shared the load. Well, with adding, you know, LeCedric King and Javion Hawkins to the mix, it's enabled him to kind of take the load off him a little bit more, and he can become more of a, you know, a manager of the game. And, you know, we obviously still run him when we have to, and, you know, he can throw it. But, you know, people forget that 2 years ago he threw for 2,000 yards. So, I mean,
yeah,
he can do it. You know, he's close to 10,000 yards total in his career, and, you know, he's a great player.
And the thing I think that gets, you know, that gets lost in the mix with dual threat quarterbacks, Coach, is the fact that he's a smart quarterback. I mean, a lot of dual threat quarterbacks run in on the run, they make mistakes, they throw balls into the hands of the other defenders. Bruce, 13 touchdowns, just 3 picks this year, 133 quarterback rating. That's an amazing accomplishment.
You know, he really has matured over through the years, and he's starting to understand coverages a little bit more. And, you know, I my only complaint of him this year, and I think it's shown the last couple of weeks, is, you know, he's starting to throw the ball away or throw it, you know, kind of throw it up for grabs a little bit. You know, he trusts our receivers, and I understand that. But, you know, before he would pull it down and run it, and, you know, I'd like for him to do that a little bit more, especially in the playoffs. But like you said, he is a smart kid, and he understands that, you know, we need him to go as far as we want to go. And so he's kind of, you know, I understand he's taking the unnecessary hits and throwing the ball away.
Coach, your defense is stout as ever. Only surrendered 133 points this year. Really, you know, when I look at the Cocoa Tigers, the first thing I always think of is defense first. And I'm sure that mantra reigns through this season. Talk about your defense a little bit.
You know, we start with, you start and end with defense at Cocoa. You know, we try to put all of our most athletic, fast kids, and then, you know, we just believe that speed over everything. I'd rather take speed than size. And, you know, we've got just 11 guys out there that, you know, that are proud, and, you know, they go by the dark side defense, and, you know, they love running through the football and making plays. And, you know, I think we're starting to get the mentality of, you know, they want to make the play before somebody else can make the play. And then when we get to that point, I think that's where, you know, we know that we're good. And we've evolved throughout the season and become much better tacklers and much better of understanding our role on defense and understanding that it's a true team game, that, you know, everybody's got to fit their run fits and play their coverages for us to be the best we can be.
Coach, this year, one aspect that I noticed about your team that really impressed me was your special teams. I was really impressed with your special teams this year, from your kicker all the way down to coverage this season. Talk about your special teams.
You know, we've been very, very fortunate this year to have, you know, two kickers that can specialize a little bit. You know, Alex Petrozello is able to be our field goal kicker, and he's actually stepped up and become a pretty good punter. And then we've got Eddie Gonzalez, who's kind of our main kickoff guy. And so they've been able to specialize in that department and kind of handle the duties. And, you know, we've got the best snapper in the area and the number 10 snapper in his class, long snapper, Clay James, who, you know, he's pretty much on the money every single time. And, you know, like you said, our coverage, you know, we've kind of been able to, with the depth that we've had, that we're able to spell some kids. And so they understand that their role is to be special teams players. And they understand that that's the most important play of the game. And so they treat it like that. So I think it's shown in our special teams.
Talking to head coach John Wilkinson of the Cocoa Tigers, state champion. Coach, let's talk about the year, this, you know, in terms of some games this year. Right out of the gate, what a fantastic game against Trinity out of Jacksonville. Big win there. Then you take the trip to Bishop Gorman. What lessons were your kids able to learn from playing in those two games this year?
I think that the lesson that we wanted to learn, and, you know, we, you know, by scheduling those things, you know, at the time, they're the number one and the number three team in the country. And, you know, a lot of people thought I was crazy for doing it. And, you know, at the time, you know, it's kind of a risk. I understand that. And, but, you know, I wanted to challenge our kids and let them understand that I felt like that we could play with anybody as long as we played our game and we were focused and, you know, didn't turn the football over and didn't, you know, give up big plays. And, you know, we proved that against Trinity Christian, who's, you know, three-time 3A state champion. And then, you know, we played really, really well the first half against Bishop Gorman, you know, where it was 12-10 with 5 seconds to go in the half, and then they throw a Hail Mary on us and get it, and kind of things went south from there. But, I mean, like I told them at halftime, we proved that we can play with anybody in the country as long as we play our game and we play focused and we're confident. And so I think that's what we wanted to get out of those games, because we knew that coming down the stretch, we weren't going to play anybody as good as Bishop Gorman. So, I mean, if we could play with them, we should, you know, be able to play with anybody on our schedule.
Again, talking to head coach John Wilkinson of the Cocoa Tigers, it's important to mention the Cocoa is the number one team in the state of Florida in Class 4A. And, of course, they spent the entire year top the Bright House Sports Network, top 20 teams in all of Central Florida. Congratulations there, Coach. I know polls don't mean a lot, but a lot of great football teams in this state, and to sit up top in Class 4A is quite an accomplishment. Let's talk about Class 4A as we head into the playoffs this week. You got a game coming up this week. Let's talk about your opponent a little bit. Look, they didn't have the type of year that maybe they wanted to have record-wise, but they made the playoffs. They can do some things offensively.
Yeah, you know, Bishop Rose, you know, really well-coached football team. Bill Shields, who used to be the head coach up at Astronaut a few years ago, and I've known him for a long, long time. He does a fantastic job of getting those kids prepared, and they play hard. And we played them last year in the playoffs, and like you said, they're well prepared. You know, the record might not show it, but you know they're in the playoffs, and anything can happen on any Friday night. They have a, you know, really good receiver that's got over 900 yards receiving. He's a fantastic player, and like you said, they're just, you know, real well coached. They're gonna try to expose some of our weaknesses, and you know, we're hoping to play well and move on.
Well, good luck trying to find those if you're the opposing team trying to find those weaknesses, Coach. No sense in looking ahead because it's one game at a time. But, you know, in the media, the talk is that the collision course here is for the matchup that everybody anticipates in this region, and that's Booker T. And you've said on several occasions, Coach, that, you know, last year that not winning a state championship, you know, you felt like maybe it was a great season, but it wasn't as successful season as you wanted. Is that the mentality that you and this team carries into Friday night?
That's, you know, that's our mentality ever since 2010. You know, I mean, I think once you get the taste of winning a state championship, I mean, it's always there, and you want to get back there and have that feeling again and understand that, you know, you're the best in your classification. And, you know, I feel like our kids have that hunger back. you know, that they want to feel that and understand what it's all about. And, you know, but like you said, we're going to take it one game at a time. You know, obviously they've been a thorn in our side. And, you know, if we happen to meet up in a couple of weeks, then, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, the good news is I think that if that should come to fruition, that game would be at Coco, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. That's a whole different ball game to have them come here. So, Coach, from a personal standpoint, when do you take time to look back? I know we talked last year a little bit after the recruiting process, and it's just an exhausting period from, you know, it's a 12-month, 365-day-a-year job. But, you know, when you get to this time of the year and you look back on your season, from a personal standpoint, what are some of the things you personally reflect upon?
Did our team progress? Did we get better? You know, just kind of, you know, what can we do next year that could help us? You know, what do we need to change that, you know, could possibly help us in the future? You know, and, you know, each crew of kids is different, and, you know, you have to treat each crew differently. You can't treat everybody the same. And that's individually player to player too. And just kind of go back through the relationships and see what worked and see what didn't work. And, you know, it's like you said, it's 365 days a year. You know, we want to be playing as long as possible. And so that's our goal. And, you know, it's, you know, the coaching aspect of it, you know, beyond X and O's, you know, we do a lot more on the mental side of the game and psychologically, how can we get, you know, into the kids' heads and how can we get them to do what we want them to do on the field and things like that. So I guess that's kind of how we come back and review the season.
Finishing up here, a couple more for head coach John Wilkinson of the Coco Tigers. Appreciate him taking time out of what is playoff week preparation. Coach, Brevard County, I always like to ask coaches this question. I was talking to Austin Lyon a couple of weeks ago, and I asked Austin Lyon, you know, what it was about Brevard County that stood out, because, you know, man for man, I love the way Brevard County plays football. And I asked Austin what made Brevard County unique in terms of the rest of the state. You go down south and it's a plethora of talent. But Brevard County always just, they seem to compete. And Austin said that, you know, Brevard County doesn't always get, you know, they don't have the players that they have down south. But the coaching in this county is as good as it is anywhere in the state of Florida. Talk about how far Brevard County football has come in the last 10 years.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I played in Brevard County in high school, you know, back in the late 80s and at Maryland High School. And I felt like ever since then, you know, it's, you know, when you go school to school, you know, everybody's got their own, you know, their own problems and their own limitations. But I mean, at each school, I feel like that those coaches get the most out of their talent at, you know, whatever that talent is. I think that they find it and they try to, you know, use that to the best of their ability. And, you know, I'll talk to everybody around the state and, you know, from top to bottom, I feel like that we've got, you know, great coaches. I mean, I think that, you know, like you said, we may not be blessed at every single one of the schools in the county with, you know, great talent or, you know, Division I talent, but I think that the coaches get the most out of the kids, and I think that the kids believe in their coaches and they'll work hard for their coaches. And, you know, the main thing is that I feel like there's coaches in this county that care about kids and that care about, and kids can sense that, and they'll play for you if they know that you love them and care about them and respect them. And I think that that's where it all starts. And, you know, we've got a great bunch of guys. You know, we always enjoy hanging out with each other and, you know, at our meetings, FACA meetings or whatever, and, you know, really not talking ball as much as just kind of hanging out. They're just good people, and I can see why kids would love to play for them.
Coach, next year is going to be a different type of a year, especially for you, because in the classification right above you on up, nothing changes in terms of scheduling. How much different does your offseason become now that the FHSAA has made the changes next year that they have made?
Well, it's going to be huge for us. You know, we still haven't decided if we're going to decide to play up or not and to a different classification. You know, but the scheduling has become, you know, like you said, the football has become year-round. The scheduling has become year-round, you know, because we like to play, you know, at least one out-of-state game a year, and we like to been trying to get out-of-state teams to come to us. And so, I mean, that becomes a process that started – you know, back in September, and, you know, I have get calls every single day. And, you know, depending on what we decide to do, it's, you know, if we stay 4A, then, you know, it's going to be finding 10 games and finding people that are willing to play. And then, you know, that's the great through 8A is at least they have, you know, five or six district games where they don't have to find opponents. So, I mean, the
right.
challenge for us is going to be deciding what we're going to do. And then, obviously, if it's staying 4A is, you know, trying to set up, you know, 10 games. That's going to be the difference.
Coach, I end with this, with every coach I talk to. Matter of fact, I just asked Coach Englehart over at Florida Tech this question the other day. Who was your biggest coaching mentor when times get tough? Who do you look back on and pull advice from?
Gerald Odom, who was my head coach at Merritt Island High School and who I actually coached with at Merritt Island and at New Smyrna. And, you know, I grew up with his son, and so from when we were 5 years old playing Pop Warner, you know, Coach Odom was always there, kind of like a father figure to me, and he taught me so much about the game and taught me so much about how to treat people and treat kids. And so whenever I, you know, I think back and say, what would Coach Odom do? And so that's kind of my guy.
Well, Coach, I know it's just a busy, busy week for you, and we certainly appreciate you taking time here on Space Coast Daily to chat with us, and look forward to seeing your team play football Friday night and throughout the month of November. There's no question in my mind. I won't tell you we had our playoff preview show last night. I won't tell you where we picked you because, you know, you tell me to be quiet anyway. So, listen, good luck, Coach, and really appreciate your time, and have a good playoff run.
I appreciate it, and thank you for having us on or having me on, and then thanks for all you do for high school sports in Brevard County. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Thanks.